Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 26th of November, and I'm recording at 9:36 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. And also, on this day, let me wish all of our U.S. subscribers a very happy Thanksgiving Day. Hope you've had a good time and an excellent, or about to have an excellent meal if you haven't already had it. Now, what about these markets in here today? Well, inevitably, they were quieter with the U.S. Closed, mainly closed. Some of the futures markets were open. But I'll do a quick run through here for you. And in the Asia-Pacific region, well, Japan was quietly steady, up about 0.5%. Which is good progress overall. China, which had been higher in the early trading, was disappointing and ended up with small losses across the board compared to what had been good gains, particularly good gains for the Hong Kong indices. Well, it's going to take a little bit of time, but they're oversold and they're good value, in my opinion. Other Asia-Pacific markets, mostly firm in here, all up over 1%, well, up over 1% are Taiwan and South Korea. The Sensex index, three-quarters of a percentage point gain. It's easier to mention decliners, which are, let me just get these correct. It would be, looks like Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand were all down. Only the Thailand decline was above the 1% level. Now, looking at the European stock markets, we had good gains in here today. And that's a nice follow-on from the gains that we had seen yesterday. They are mainly over 1%, including France, Germany, Spain, and Italy, all and also which is Sweden. beg your pardon for that delay. All up over 1%, and also the Euro Stoxx 50 index. UK did pretty well in here too, up over 4/5 of a percentage point. Okay, Wall Street closed, of course, but we did see the Canadian market, Mexican market, and Brazil all higher in here. So firm is the way I would describe it in terms of all of these stock markets, or most of these stock markets here today. And that's encouraging because what it says is that they have not worried too much. I remember about the Russian plane that was shot down by Turkey, and that's certainly made a lot of people nervous initially, and you had some alarmist comments, people saying, well, that's the way world wars actually start, and so on. The last thing we need is a major war taking place within Europe, and so markets wilted, but I would say that problem is not over. You've got some harsh words being exchanged, and Russia has slapped a lot of economic embargoes on Turkey here in the short term. So this may fester for a while, and it could come back to be to cause a little bit of a little bit more uncertainty or concern. Hopefully not too much, but I've written about this a little bit in here today as well. Okay, elsewhere in these markets, the U.S. Treasuries and VIX are not open here today. The dollar index that has been trading quietly, low volume, but at 99.861. So it's really just firm beneath that 100 level. And I think it'll be back above that sometime next week. The important point here is that a lot of people are saying that, well, we're going to get five interest rate hikes between now and the end of 2016. I think they're talking about quarter point interest rate hikes, so that's not a massive move, but it's 1.25 points higher on the Fed funds rate. But I would be very surprised if those forecasts were right. First, Janet Yellen has said that she's going to proceed very cautiously with rate hikes, and so I expect at least a couple of rate hikes, one in December, and I think it would be make sense to have another quarter point rate hike late in the first quarter. From the Fed, but Yellen will be concerned about some factors. The lesser concern will be an election year, although central banks don't like to be raising rates during an election year. It does happen from time to time, but one party is always going to feel aggrieved, and it would be the Democrats this time around. Because if the let's say we actually got the five interest rate hikes between now and the end of 2000 and 2016, now that could be a real problem for the U.S. economy if it caused the dollar to kite higher, which it easily could. The dollar is firm enough now. And you've probably seen some of those rule of thumb statistics on the impact of a dollar hike, but the one I've quoted before is that the general consensus that a 10% gain in the US dollar can lead to can reduce 1 point from the US GDP figures. Now, that's particularly if that 10% rise in the dollar occurs quickly. So to say that again, sharp rise in the dollar of 10% or more against other currencies, and you're going to shave a point off GDP. So if the Fed were to bring in those five interest rate hikes, I think there's a real chance that that could cause the dollar to move up quite sharply because the U.S. is ahead of the global curve here on economic recovery and rates, and so people would pile into the dollar, and that would hurt the big multinationals, the autonomies, U.S. corporate autonomies, which consolidate and report their earnings in U.S. dollars. So those earnings would go down, it would mean less tax revenue, and some of the Democrats would, I think, definitely complain privately or publicly, and I think some of it would be publicly, that the Fed was hurting their election or re-election chances in 2016. So the Fed won't want to be in that position. But the more important consideration is that the Fed will not want to kill off this very gradual recovery that the U.S. is seeing. And it's been a long time in coming, hasn't it? So I'm more cautious on the rate hikes than that general consensus that we are hearing. But if I'm wrong on that, and if we see a faster recovery, and I'm reasonably optimistic about the global economy improving. A lot of people feel that it's going to deteriorate further and that the deflation problems are going to stay around. I'm not of that view. I think over the next 2, 3 years, and I've said this before, that we will see somewhat better GDP growth, and that a clear sign of that, that would dispel deflation concerns largely, would be a sharp rally in the very, very depressed commodity sector. I mean, there's a chance that we're very close to that, or it might have even begun. It has actually begun, I think, for some very depressed commodities. Now, if other economies, including China, are starting to recover a little bit more quickly than most people expect right now, the implications of that, or the first sign that that may increase some inflationary pressures, we would see with the commodity prices. So keep an eye on that index. And okay, what else to mention here in terms of commodities here today? Well, quietly steady, I think, except for crude oil, which is weaker. The Brent crude down 71 cents to 45.46, and the WTI down 53 cents to 42.51. The grains and beans are most, now those grains and beans have not traded here today, so it's patchy. The others that I mentioned to you had traded. So the crude oil's trading, but not the grains and beans. Again, a quiet day here overall. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.